It's been a long month, the last couple months, and you know, God's dealt with me in a different way. And one thing He's dealt with me, I lost my job, and probably a week prior, it was 6 months after God moved me out of one place, moved me to the next, I heard ramblings that they were going to start laying people off, they were having problems. And I sat in my service truck, because that's what I did. I'm a mechanic by trade. And I sat there, and I was worried. I said, you know, Lord, what happened? I left a perfectly sound, safe job, and now 6 months later, I'm laid off. From everything you provided I needed, here I am. I'm laid off. And I sat in that service truck, and I wanted to cry. I couldn't take it. Like, I just couldn't take the pressure. And I heard God say something to me, and He asked me a question. Is my grace enough? You know, we all know that God's grace is enough for our eternal life. John 3:16 tells us, Romans 3:21 tells us that the grace of God is what saved us. And it's real easy to understand that and to think about that. But it's another thing in our day-to-day, everyday lives, when coworkers, family members, our children, our own siblings, they get in our face, they aggravate us, they make us upset. They break our hearts. Co-workers stick a knife in our back to get ahead. It's hard. And in our own human way, we decide we're going to hang on to it. It's ours. We don't let that same saving grace come in and begin to wash it away. You know, I have to laugh. If you look at this Bible from cover to cover, it's nothing but grace. There's story upon story upon story in there of a promise and somebody doing something that should have negated that promise because they didn't follow through. But yet God's grace didn't change and the promise didn't change. We can look at the story of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were told not to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They were, they disobeyed. They were foolish. They listened to a serpent that crawled on its belly, and they did. And in Genesis, I believe it's chapter 3, verse 15, is the first promise of that grace. For God speaks, and He says, you may bite His heel, but He's going to crush your head. You know, and from there on out throughout the Bible, all the way through to Christ's death, the grace is there. That wonderful saving grace. I was thinking about this, and like I said, it's been a long month and a half at home, and I've been doing what I can to make sure that things are provided for. And about every time I'd bout to worry, I'd get upset. I was out in my garage a couple weeks ago fixing a vehicle for a friend that needed a cylinder head. I'm out there, I'm fretting about it, worried about things. I've got a 4-year-old. She stands about this high. She's cute. She's adorable. She knows it. She'll tell you. She's learning to ride a bicycle, and I've got my truck. I live right on the edge of a really busy highway. My house is probably 12 feet from the side of the road. It's really busy, really dangerous. I've got my truck parked sideways across the end of the driveway. She just wanted to be out with Daddy. Didn't care. Just wanted to be outside. She's learning to ride her bicycle, so she's riding in and out of my garage, across the blacktop and back in the garage, just riding in circles. I'm standing over in the corner working on this truck, and I'm fretting. And she just began to sing, and she blessed me so much. She's sitting there, and she just begins to sing. She's singing one of the Newsboy songs that's played a lot right now, that my God's not dead, He's still alive. And she's singing at the top of her lungs, and just, she's no clue I'm listening. She's just singing and pedaling, her little legs are out and around and riding circles. But she means it. And God just began to speak to me, and Am I dead? Am I still alive? And then the next song she starts to sing is another song that's on the same album by the kids. My son plays it all the time. He loves it. From the time he wakes up, anytime he's in his bedroom, you can hear his radio just a blaring up there. He's in love with the CD. She begins to sing, "He's second to none, and I'm second to one." And I sat there with a wrench in my hand, and the tears started to roll down my eyes. I couldn't wipe it off because of the grease in the oil. And, you know, I said, you know, Lord, here I am, fret. You gave me a promise. You told me You would provide. You told me And here I am worried about it, trying to figure it all out. Just, I'm going crazy. And you take my 4-year-old, and you remind me of that promise. You know, so many times, our lives are hurt. They're hurt hard. And it's tough to find that grace. It's sometimes easy to accept it, but it's even harder to give it away. I remember the first night I found the grace of God. I was probably about 7 years old. Dad was working. He worked over here at Moore's before they went out. He was very busy. He worked the night shift, and he wasn't home a lot at night. And Mom was home with us. She had come home from work, and she brought home a movie. I don't even remember the name of the movie. What I can tell you is I remember the storyline about it. It was about a young boy. He was a baseball player. He wanted a pair of baseball shoes really bad. Mom and Dad told him they couldn't afford it. Well, like most of us, he took things into his own hands. He went and he was diligent. He mowed grass. He earned the money to get the baseball shoes. In the story, he's all excited. He finally got the shoes. He's all excited. He's ready to go. He's ready to go to his first baseball game. I remember so vividly, Mom told him to go get the dog and put the dog away so we can go. They show him tearing through the house. And all you can hear is you can hear him running. And the next screen, they show a big sliding glass door. And you can see the dog sit so beautifully out the other side of that glass door. You hear the glass shatter. And the next scene they show the baseball shoes on the young gentleman sitting in a coffin. And I remember going to bed that night, and I was all upset. And my mom, God bless her, she came in to tuck us in. I was probably 7 or 8 years old that time. She just began to talk to me. And I remember that grace of God coming in that room, and it was done for eternity at that moment. No matter what else I did, it was done for eternity. That was, oh man, 18 years ago now, or more. I'm 30, and it was about 7 when that happened. And on this road, I've seen so many things happen. I've made my own mistakes and done the wrong things so many times. And in that road, I've had so many different promises from God that I can't even remember them all. Some probably negated me. Some of the mistakes I made negated me from some of them promises. But God made those promises because that's what He wanted. And He knew what I'd do, and He knew His grace was enough. You know, I want to challenge you today. When I look at the world, I see the same people God spent 90% of the Old Testament writing about, is the Israelites. Mm-hmm. I shake my head sometimes when I hear the stories and just of amazement. You know, you read how God brought them out of Egypt. You know, he performed all those miracles and those miraculous things He did with the locusts in the river, and He brought them out, brought them to the Red Sea. Put a pillar of fire behind them, protect them at night, split the sea. 1 million people walked across that sea to the other side, and God crushed their enemies right in front of their eyes. It was over with. Their enemy quit chasing them. And it hadn't been, I'm not sure how long it was, but it wasn't too long. Moses goes up on the mountain to meet with God, and they look at Aaron and say, "We need an idol to worship." They couldn't even wait for him to come off the mountain of God. You know? And they think, God could have ended it all right there. Done. He may have taken them out of Egypt, but they refused to let go of Egypt. But you know, God's grace didn't end there. When it was all said and done, it was over with. Then He turns around and they start crying, they want manna. He gives them manna. They cry, they want meat. He gives them meat. And they turn around and start crying, they want water. You know, and poor Moses, I do sometimes feel sorry for him. And I would probably do more than strike the rock with my stick rather than speak for the rock. You know? But it didn't change. God brought them all the way to the promised land, and I had to laugh. Brings them there. He delivered them from all these things and showed them all these greatnesses. And they said, "We can't do that. It's full of giants. Can't be done." I don't know. Good thing He has wonderful grace. As I'm telling you, it had been done for me. It had been done for me. You know? But it wasn't. It cost them 40 years of wandering and no home, but it didn't negate the promise that he told them. They would have the land from this point to this point, from that point to that point. You know, now how many years has it been, Pastor George? Thousands of years still? That promise hasn't changed, and it won't stop until they own those points that they were promised. No matter what they do, it doesn't matter. They were given that promise, and that promise was theirs. And through all, God has a grace to see them through to the end of the promise. You know, it's hard. I don't know what you're struggling with today. I struggled all night. It was 4 o'clock this morning. I spent writing these. I shouldn't have wasted my time. Because the more and more I tried to put it on paper, the harder it was. Through toothaches, no job, and I'm so blessed because God did provide my job, by the way. And not that I'd have to drive 50 miles, 100 miles a day like I have been to provide. He provided it 5 miles from my house at more pay than I was making. And I, in an area where it's just unheard of, I get paid what I got paid. And it wasn't anything I did. God gave me my skill set. He's caused me to work at my skill set. He's caused me to do things and learn things that make me worth that. And he put me in the position and the time, walked me into the place, and the guy looked at my resume, read my resume, and he said, you know, he said, I can't help but tell you. He said, this is what you're what I wanted, he says, but I figured I'd never get it, so I settled for something less. And I sat in that chair in just astonishment. You know, the man told me to my face, he says, I can't hire you because of the price I want to pay. He said, I have to get authorization from the owner. He said, but we'll take care of that. He said, I don't think that'll be a problem. You know, and I was just amazed. I stood there in awe. I went home. My wife cried. My kids were all excited. But God promised me something. And it's been hard. It's been a long, long month. And there's been little points of grace that have come through from my little daughters to my older kids, the people I've talked to, friends I've talked to, that they're amazing. And again, I don't know what you're struggling with right now. I know it might be hard. It could be a hurt that's been 20 or 30 years old. I can't tell you that. It could be a fresh wound. Sometimes they hurt the most. I want to encourage you today that God's grace is enough. No matter what you're struggling with, God's grace is enough. We don't have to meddle with it. We don't have to play with the situation. We have to do what we're told. Keep our hands off and let His grace carry us through. Not been an easy process, but I can tell you standing here today that it's a process. I'm glad I waited. It's glad that I put myself through what I put myself through worrying about it. Because at the end, His grace was enough. His grace was more than what I asked. He blessed me beyond what I thought I could be blessed with. That's all I really have today. I know it's short. I spent hours trying to figure it out. I really did. And like I said, it was 4 o'clock this morning. That's what was on my heart. You know, Pastor George asked me to share my heart, and that's what's been on my heart. You know, I've talked before. I talked about the fire and the drying period. It's only grace that's going to get us through that drying period before the wildfire takes it, sets loose. And I know it's coming. I can feel it in my soul. I know it's coming. And the drier it gets, I keep asking God. I don't know how. Don't know how I can hang on. I'm so dry, there's nothing left for me to hang on with. And I believe, Pastor George, I just believe that's where that grace comes in. You know, the grace and the mercy of God just begin to come in. And I know when that fire lets go, those of us that are dried out are ready to go. The humidity is low, the wind begins to pick up, it's going to come tearing through, and it's going to hurt for a little while. But then the growth is going to begin to grow. And it's going to be absolutely astonishing to see what's going to happen.
Amen.
a feel in my heart that Dave needs to pray for some people today. I feel that his gifts are flowing, whether he realizes it or not. Amen. A couple of things I'd like to editorialize, if I may. You spoke about your little four-year-old. For the most part, four-year-olds have not learned how to worry yet. Okay? Could it be? That's why Jesus said we need to come to him as little children. Amen. You can tell we got a new age preacher up here. He's got his cell phone with him. Okay. It's okay. We were here in a midweek service one night, and a cell phone went off. So whose cell phone is that? It was mine. Hallelujah. You may have wondered. I know sitting in the pew for years, I wondered. Why do preachers make such a big deal out of you got to pray every day. Got to read the word. Got to come to church. You got to sing the song. Why? There's a lot of people today are answering that question and not answering the question. You're just walking away. But one thing I'll tell you about faith that Brother David was talking, I'm sure he would actually use the scripture. I heard a great preacher use this one day and preached about it. He says, out of Hebrews, says, now faith. And he didn't preach it like I would normally preach it. He says, now faith. He used now as an adjective. He said, faith has to be now. And he made a remark that have always stuck with me for close to 30 years now. He said, every time you need your faith, it will be tried. It will be tested. He said, it never becomes automatic. The reason we ask you to pray, the reason we beg you to read the Bible, the reason we do everything we can to get you to come to church and get involved with it, is that there's going to come a day when you don't have the church next to you. You don't have a Bible in your hand. You're going to be working on someone's truck trying to make a dollar to put food on the table. And you're going to need your faith. And it will come. Got to make a theological statement, as I can't help myself. The teacher part of me. It'll come when you recall the words you've read, when you recall the sermons you've heard, when you remember the prayers. God already remembers them. And the unbelief and doubt is finally cleared away, so that released answer that God released the moment you prayed it, by the way, even if it was 40 years earlier, that finally clears the air. And God's answer can come to you just the way you prayed it, just what you needed. Hallelujah. God is never there when you want him, but he's always right on time. Hallelujah. Let me just end with this before we give an altar call. I managed to get myself in a lot of trouble just by the things I say. And usually that has to do with where I say them. One time, I used to spend a lot of time ministering in prisons. I did so much time in prison, I probably did a 10-year stand altogether. I just, if I ever get in trouble, I say, give me time served. No, only joking. But you have to understand, when you're preaching in jail, it's a very volatile atmosphere. Everyone's got an attitude. Everyone's got a theological stance. Everyone's got an ideological opinion. And they judge you. Everything you... I almost got thrown out one day for using the word Easter. It's that bad. It's Resurrection Sunday. It's also called Easter. Anyway. When I'm in different atmospheres, I have different ways I present myself. The gospel's always the same, but I present myself. And how can I put this in a nice way? I've been told by those who've never met me that they think I'm black. And the reason is because I get caught up into that form of preaching. So just think about me in a prison, and God just lets me go free. What can come out? And I got to preaching real hard one night, and every once in a while, I think there's a little touch of prophet in me, brother. Because every once in a while, I find myself going after something. Theological, going, and this one night I was going after this, everyone got different gods. The Muslims are over here, the black Muslims are over there, the white Muslims are over here, the Christians are over there. It's just crazy. And I started preaching, and without thinking, if I thunk it out, I never would have done this. I said, it doesn't matter what God you serve. And I did one of those pauses I tend to do. And I could hear the room like, rah, 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 until you need him. And I challenged a whole bunch of them. I'm leaving in a couple hours. Hopefully, I'm gonna get an escort outside them gates, and the guards are gonna have to put up with whatever I stirred up. If you want to be this or that, that's totally up to you. But when your life falls apart,
And you're sitting out there where you're working on a truck or sitting in an office, or and you're sitting there, so where's the next payment coming from? Where's the food on for my kid's belly? Where's it coming from? And you're not like that four-year-old anymore, because we've learned how to worry. That's when the memories come back. What was it that preacher said? Listen, I'm at the age now, I'll blame it on the age. A lot of stuff I used to know, I've forgotten. It's gone. I can't remember a lot of things. But when I need it, I'm a kind of a literal person. And someone told me through Scripture, or interpreted this way, that I needed to read the Bible because whatever I needed would be brought back to my memory. So I sat down and read the Bible just because I wanted to remember at the right time. Now, does that sound foolish? Oh, it's not. Because the first Bible I ever read page to page was a Revised Standard Version. And I will find myself to this day, 30 some odd years later, quoting out of the Revised Standard Version, because it's in my mind and the Holy Spirit touches that. I want to encourage you to read. I want to encourage you, listen to this man's testimony. I want to encourage you, if you're a reader, read testimony books. Testimony books are great. Read about John Hyde. Read about these men and women of God, Maria Eder, and I'm trying to think of names from the past, Alexander Dowie, all these different people. Read about them. The same God that moved for Dowie and Eder and these great people of old, it's the same God that we serve. It's the same God. And whether you need a job like this man needed, whether you need a healing, whether you need a touch, maybe you just feel bleh. That's not a very theological term, but you know what I mean. Hallelujah. Sometimes I get that a lot. I'm just tired. I'm burnt out. And I'm sorry, but when I'm tired, I don't care. And I got to warn you right now, if you call my house and I'm tired, you'll probably find out real quick I don't care. Because sometimes I can't help it. Okay. Some of you guys found out Thursday night what happens when I get in one of those moods. We went down to graduation. Did you hear about the? No, you didn't hear about it. I was in a mood. I came home from work and I was in a mood, and it took me all the way to the to Wilkes-Barre to get out of that mood. And I still had the mood. My problem is I went into the traffic in a bad mood. I needed. That's because you and your daddy were behind me. At least somebody in this world was behind me. I needed God. I needed God to get me out of my mood. I needed God to work through these things. Amen? Hallie, I'm sorry. I'm taking over. We're going to give an altar call. If you like some prayer for the things that Brother Dave is talking about. I think I got on that roll because...